And we've got some good news to end the show on. In the United States today, there is actually more than one open job for every person looking for work. Think about that for a second. Right now, there are more jobs than people able to fill them. At the height of the Great Recession, there were about six people looking for work for every vacancy. New Labor Department numbers this week point to a record number of job openings, 7.1 million jobs. And a booming labor market like this means it's also a great time for employees to ask for more money or find a better job. Harry Holzer is with me to talk about why the economy looks the way it does, how workers can benefit, and who is left out of this prosperous moment. Harry is the professor of public policy at Georgetown and a former chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor. Harry, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you, Tanzine. It's nice to be here.
So wait, there are jobs? How did we get here?
Well, it's been a long road back. You know, the recovery from the recession technically started in 2009. Only until 2010 did we really start to recover. So we've now been in a recovery for eight and a half years, and that's been the road back to this strong labor market.
So the president, President Trump, tweeted a celebration the other day. He said about these 7.1 million job openings, and the president tweeted, "Astonishing! It's all working." Harry, what does he mean? What is working? Are there Trump administration policies that are contributing to this?
Well, a little bit. I mean, no surprise that the president takes credit for every positive development. Look, this has been a long recovery. What we see is mostly a continuation of a kind of gradual tightening that we saw for 6 years under President Obama. I do think there's a bit of a Trump effect. I think the tax cuts that just started to kick in this year probably have a small effect that bump up the economy and bump up the labor market a little more than it otherwise would have. That doesn't mean it's a good policy because it's like a sugar high. It'll last very briefly. It's really bad policy because eventually we're going to have to pay for those tax cuts one way or the other. The positive effect will wear off within a year or two, we'll be left with trillions of dollars of more debt.
I think there's an important question to ask here, too. There are 7.1 million job openings, but what kind of jobs are we talking about here?
Well, they really cover the full range. And if you look at the vacancy numbers in that report, you see them in a pretty wide range of industries. So, for instance, you see them in professional services, for which you usually need at least a BA, if not some kind of graduate degree. You see some of them in places like construction, where you need some skills, although not necessarily a post-secondary credential. And then you see them in places like leisure and hospitality or even retail trade, where folks without much college or without even work training can get hired as long as they are job ready, as long as they can come in, get to work on time every day, sometimes pass a drug test, et cetera.
We're talking about the labor economy with Harry Holzer, professor of public policy at Georgetown and former chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor. Harry, is it easy or should people start asking for more money? Should people start asking for a raise if they already have a job, given the job market and what it looks like right now?
Well, the average answer to that question is yes. Now, again, it always varies from one industry to the next, one occupation to the next, depending on how many other people in that region are ready to replace you. But yes, these are the best circumstances in over a decade. When the labor market is this tight, workers have more bargaining power. And when it's harder to replace them, if they leave, yeah, they have more room to bargain and to ask for pay raises. So overall, it's not a bad strategy right now.
What about wages themselves? We often hear that wages have not kept up with productivity, with unemployment or with employment, that workers are making less today relatively than they were 30, 40 years ago. So where are wages today? Have they gone up as well?
Well, you know, wages have been the most disappointing aspect of this recovery, and we haven't seen great wage growth. The last few months, it looks a little better. The last 2 months, the employment reports have shown wage growth in the 3 to 4% range rather than 2 to 3. If that lasts, then it looks like we're moving into a new phase where everything looks positive, and we'll see if it lasts. You know, the other thing, of course, is productivity has actually been pretty weak in the last decade or so. So it's hard to have great wage growth without very good productivity growth. But the news from the last few months has been more encouraging.
Can you drill down a little bit more into that? Because I feel like workers are working a lot and we never stop working. So how, tell us a little bit about that productivity number.
Well, productivity is really the output of goods and services per hour worked. So it might well be that workers are working a lot of hours and that we have a lot of employment going on. It depends how productive each worker is on average in producing whatever goods and services they produce. And those numbers have been pretty flat. We had a good decade in the late 90s and early 2000s around the dot-com boom. But except for that, they've been pretty flat. And we need to figure out how to get productivity up to have long-term wage and earnings gains and not just a bump while the labor market's tight.
Let's also talk about two groups of people who often don't get highlighted here. There are the long-term unemployed, those folks who just can't seem to get a foothold in the labor market, and also those that say they are underemployed. They're not working the hours or the types of jobs that they want to be working or feel they're qualified to work in. What do you see for those two groups, long-term unemployed and those that are underemployed?
Well, for both those groups, you know, we wish the numbers were a little better. In a labor market this tight, those people have the best prospects they're going to have. But you're right. They have often been left out. A lot of the people who are long-term unemployed have actually left the labor force. They have stopped actively looking for work. For some of them, it's very hard to come back in. They might have gone on disability insurance, or they might have developed an opioid problem, or they might have a criminal record. Lots of stuff can keep them from coming back in. And even when they do start looking for work, you know, that long spell without work can be a negative signal to employers. Like, you know, this guy isn't that trustworthy, depending on who else is applying for that job. They might still get it. So we've seen a small number of the people who had left the labor force trickle back in. And by the way, I'm not talking about retiring baby boomers. I'm talking about people, prime age workers between, say, 25 and 55. There's been a small trickle of those folks back in. A lot have remained out. And of course, the longer they're out, the harder it ever is to come back in. Now, the other group, involuntarily working part-time or not quite in the job they want, this is a good time for them to try to move up the ladder, especially if they have skills or work experience.
Harry Holzer is a professor of public policy at Georgetown and former chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor. Harry, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And we want to talk to you, our listeners, about how today's labor market is playing out for you. When did you last get a raise? What did it mean for you? From blue-collar hourly jobs to white-collar roles with big salaries, we want your stories of getting raises and bonuses or just trying to get those things and being turned down.
I'm from Elizabethtown, Kentucky. I've worked for the state in workforce development for 15 years. I've never received a bonus. The last raise I received was 2015. It's sad the workforce is crumbling and we still don't value our loyal workers.
Tweet us your stories with the hashtag #MyLastRaise. On Twitter, we're at The Takeaway and I'm at Tanzina Vega. Or you can give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or head to our Facebook page. That's all for today. Thanks so much for being with us as always. Until next time, I'm Tanzina Vega and this is The Takeaway.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.